Last Monday, it was my day off, and I don't know if you remember now, but last week we had this stretch of unusually warm and sunny and beautiful days, particularly for the end of September. And so as the afternoon was fading, I decided to just sit and be still on our back porch for a while. And by 7 o'clock, you know, it was pretty much dark. And above the dark silhouette of trees, there was this little bright sliver of a moon. Behind it, it seemed, was this sky of deepening blue. It was a lovely evening. The crickets started to chirp. The temperature was perfect. And the hymn we just sang came to my mind. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. You know that this time of year, we're losing 3 minutes of daylight every day. The long summer days are gone now. Plants are dying, leaves are starting to turn and about to fall. And I wonder, at this time of year, when so much is changing and fading away, don't you find yourself thinking about endings and death? The hymn we just sang was written in 1847 by the British clergyman Henry Francis Light. He was 54 and dying from tuberculosis in the last months of his life when he composed those words. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. One day a few years ago, I was riding in a hearse with a funeral director and the deceased behind us. We were on our way to the cemetery, and the funeral director and I were talking about the transitory nature of life, how death comes unexpectedly sometimes. And he said, you know, everyone assumes they're going to live until they're 70 or 80. But in this work, I see that death comes to all ages. Most people don't want to believe that. He was speaking to the fact that ours is a death-denying culture, a culture that likes to celebrate youth and vigor, that likes to pretend that death is a problem that can be solved, or at least avoided, rather than a natural and inevitable part of life. Of course, not all deaths are good ones. There are deaths that come too soon, as Sandra shared just a few minutes ago, heartbreakingly. There are deaths that could have been prevented, deaths due to violence and abuse and accident. There are deaths that come from being in the wrong place at the wrong time, deaths from natural disasters, and from unexplainable things that we like to call acts of God, or at least the insurance companies do. When trying to make sense out of a senseless death, you can hear people say sometimes, everything happens for a reason. You hear that, right? Now, I believe that good can sometimes come out of tragedy, but I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. I don't believe in a God who is directing our lives or our deaths. A child dies and someone says, God must have needed another angel in heaven. This is not good theology. It's not helpful to the grieving parents, and I don't buy it. The great Protestant minister William Sloan Coffin spoke to this in the eulogy he gave for his son Alex, who died at 24 in a car crash. Bill Coffin wrote, When a person dies, there are many things that can be said, and there is at least one thing that should never be said. The night after Alex died, I was sitting in the living room of my sister's house outside of Boston. When the front door opened and in came a nice-looking, middle-aged woman carrying about 18 quiches. When she saw me, she shook her head, then headed for the kitchen, saying sadly over her shoulder, "I just don't understand the will of God." Instantly, I was up and in hot pursuit, swarming all over her. "I'll say you don't, lady." Bill Coffin continues, "For some reason, nothing so infuriates me as the capacity of seemingly intelligent people to get it through their heads that God doesn't go around this world with his finger on triggers, his fists around knives, his hands on steering wheels. God is dead set against all unnatural deaths. And Christ spent an inordinate amount of time delivering people from paralysis, insanity, leprosy, and muteness. The one thing that should never be said when someone dies is, it is the will of God. Never do we know enough to say that. My own consolation lies in knowing that it was not the will of God that Alex die, that when the waves closed over the sinking car, God's heart was the first of all our hearts to break." William Sloan Coffin. Sometimes people say thoughtless things at the time of death because they don't know what to say. Death makes people nervous. Sometimes people distance themselves from illness and death, you know, as if cancer and grief are somehow contagious. We need to get over being so uncomfortable with death, right? Death is going to come to the strongest among us. It's going to come to us whether we accept it or fight it all the way. Death will come whether we are afraid or at peace, whether we are ready or not. Some of us have the luxury of pretending that our deaths are a long way off. We can think about that later. We put off things like making wills and advance directives because we don't want to think about it, because we pretend we have all the time in the world. But others of us know better. This week, one of you said to me, "Being ill forced me to come to a deeper realization of my own mortality." This person said it was hard and depressing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where she had to give up the illusion of her own immortality. But she also says that she has found a new freedom on this side of that realization, a new sense of peace, and is grateful to be living her life every day that she has. Isn't this what we all want? To be as fully alive as we can be while we're here. To make the most of these days we have been given. People seem to think that denying death will somehow increase their lives. But it seems to me like it's one of those little children who plays hide and seek. You know, they cover their eyes, and then they believe that they've become invisible. Denying our deaths does not change the outcome. Paradoxically, it is when we acknowledge our own mortality, and we come to admit that life is fleeting and fragile, that we realize it is also so precious and sweet. To acknowledge our own finitude does, of course, bring sadness and a sense of loss. How could it not? But I know that living with this awareness does change things, helps us to not put off who we want to be, what we want to say and do, to to savor this life for the gift and the miracle that it truly is. A few minutes ago, you heard John O'Donohue's words. When you recognize that death is on its way, it is a great liberation, because it means that you can, in some way, feel the call to live everything that is within you. One of the greatest sins is the unlived life, not to allow yourself to become chief executive of the project you call your life, to have a reverence always for the immensity that is inside you. John O'Donohue, former priest and poet, died unexpectedly in his sleep at age 52. Even his dying reminds us that now is the time to live while we're here. One of the blessings of being a minister is getting to be with people at pivotal moments in their lives, times of birth and death, and celebrations of those beginnings and endings. What I've been privileged to witness, especially among those facing the end of life, is so often gratitude. I remember a man I visited on his deathbed in the hospital who told me, even with all its struggles, life is so sweet. Those people facing death and difficulty have been my teachers. They've showed me that death is not something we need to fear. It's just the next step. It's an adventure, even. Who knows what might come or where we are going? And if we are intentional about how we act, when what we say to our loved ones while we're here, they will be okay when we're gone. Yes, they will be sad. Yes, they will grieve. But isn't that the price we all pay for being human and for being connected to each other by love? The invitation is to become more familiar with death, to stop pushing it away so much. I know some of you have read that wonderful book called Tuesdays with Maury, about Maury Schwartz and his facing his own death from ALS. He says, everybody knows they're going to die, but nobody believes it. If we did, we would do things differently. Instead of kidding ourselves about our mortality, Maury says, a better approach is to know you're going to die and be prepared for it at any time, to be more actually more involved in your life while you're living. He recommends doing what the Buddhists do. Every day, imagine you have a little bird on your shoulder that asks you, is today the day? Am I ready? Am I doing all that I can do? Am I being the person that I want to be? Is today the day that I die? The good news is that living in this awareness of your own mortality, it doesn't make you morose all the time. It helps you to live a fuller life, and when your time comes, you will be ready. It helps you to live a happier and more helpful life while you're here. Mary Oliver writes, when death comes, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea, and I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular, and each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, toward silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I've made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. May the love that abides, the love that is stronger even than death, be your companion. Bless you and keep you now and forever. Amen.